Hi, my name is Michael Kramer, and welcome to a podcast focused on the world of corporate real estate and everything that touches it. Today, as we all know, companies are shifting to a new way of thinking about the office and work, and with HR never more important. Today, I'm really pleased to have not only an HR and real estate specialist in the room, but also welcome back Adam Hoy, who's been on the podcast before. Between us, we're going to cover a broad range of topics. We're going to talk about talent, of course, data-driven decisions, getting back into the office, culture and purpose, and much more. So I'm really thrilled to welcome you back, Adam. Adam Hoy, VP, Head of Worldwide Real Estate and Facilities at GSK. Welcome back to the podcast, Adam.
Thank you, Michael. Happy to be here again.
And welcome for the first time, Manix Mali, who was Director of HR with Booking.com in Asia before moving on, let's say, within Booking.com to be Director of Real Estate and Workplace Services. So it'd be interesting to talk to Manix about that experience. Manix, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Michael. Looking forward.
Maybe if we can kick off with you, Adam, and I want to start in the world of data. One of my kind of pet peeves, I think we're lacking in data around the whole corporate workplace experience. And I know actually both of your companies have done a lot in this area. But if we start with GSK, maybe you could just tell us how this has become so important to you and why, maybe. And then we can move into what you're doing with the data.
Over time, GSK and specifically some members of the team at GSK have really kind of shared that passion for data and have really taken a step forward in terms of the types of data that we're gathering and how we're utilizing the data. So a few years back, the team started looking at consolidating information that we had on our portfolio, which, you know, all companies do. So not something that I think was groundbreaking at that time. But off the back of that, the team started looking at new data points and new sources of data that would allow the company to make different types of decisions with our space. So I think we started with the basics, and over the past few years, we've built additional data points that help us look at things like wellness, productivity, and the overall employee experience, which I think has helped us really start to shape our designs and to shape the way that we use offices. So it's been a great journey. Charlie Tillett, who you're familiar with, has really spearheaded this from our end. And it's been great to watch. And it's been great to really see the company accept the different data points and to understand the value in the data that we're collecting.
Is that data that you're collecting from, you're kind of collecting for the first time? Is it business data? Is this about putting sensors in buildings? Can you just sort of maybe dig into the new data, let's call it, that you're looking at that you find helpful?
We started with the business data, so information on all of our properties and the nuts and bolts of kind of what you need to run a corporate real estate team and to really understand your portfolio. So it started with that basic data set and then advanced more into the experience type of data. So the team has used all kinds of different technologies to gather information, sensors in some places. We obviously use a lot of survey data, wearables, so things like watches and Fitbits, those types of things, to gather people data, all kinds of information coming in from different sources. So essentially, looking at the space, what can we do to the space from a lighting perspective, from a sound perspective, even from a scent perspective, to understand what type of effect those changes are having on the employees, and ultimately, their experience from a wellness point of view and a productivity point of view. So as we've talked about before, and you're aware of, GSK had a program called the GSK Performance Hub a couple years ago. There's been a few articles written on it to look at the outcome of the pilot that we ran at our headquarters. But those are the types of data points that the team gathered during that project.
Now, maybe we'll come back and talk about the use of scent. I like that idea. But before we do, Manix, over to you. Again, I know that Booking have been pretty forward-thinking in terms of data. Maybe you could explain what you've been doing, how you've been doing that.
Yeah, of course, Booking is very much a data-driven company. That is just in our genes, in our DNA, if you like. Data trumps everything. That is what we have learned since the start of Booking. Indeed, it's also very important for our decisions in real estate and workspace services.
I mean, you say data trumps everything, which I kind of like, because it's obviously you're a data-driven company. So was it just an automatic thing that you started thinking about the data that you needed to make decisions around property because the business is always using data to make decisions around its actual business?
Yeah, absolutely. It was not always there because the beginning of the real estate and workspace services team was really about the growth, the hyper growth that we have experienced. But since a few years, we have a data scientist in the team. And we also working closely together with the people analytics and research team. But it's super helpful and important to have a data scientist as part of our team for us to understand more about the world of data science. And for the data scientist also to understand, yeah, what are the mechanisms in decisions in real estate and services.
So I can see that parallel between you and GSK, because obviously GSK being a science company is loves data and uses it. You, I guess, from a tech point of view, completely different industry, but nevertheless need data. And I'm assuming when you make business case presentations or you're asking for capital to spend, data comes first in that discussion. Otherwise, the CFO isn't interested in listening. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just before COVID, we did a big experiment, a live experiment with 4 workplace concepts. And we tested it with 320 of our people. A group of 80 was then experiencing 2 weeks in each concept. The total experiment lasted for 2 months. And with that data, we did it both on subjective and objective points, so surveys, but also lots of sensors data. The whole place was completely wired. Both with that, we came then to insights and conclusions that were also very much accepted by not only the CFO and et cetera, but also by our own community who is very much focused on data. And then they could say, oh yeah, because of this, it makes sense to move to that or the other concept.
I like that idea because, of course, your employees, as you say, are data-driven. And so they want to see the data before they decide that something's going to be a good thing. Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just before I flip it back to Adam, just I mentioned at the outset that your background is HR and you've moved into the corporate real estate world. When you were director of HR in the Asian operation, what was the interlock between the HR team and the property team? Or was there? And again, were you sharing data on the people and what was going on? Because I'm curious as to that shift that you made. Maybe we can talk about that as well.
From the start of Booking, it has been part of the people department, if you like.
What corporate real estate has.
Yeah, corporate real estate and the workspace services team. So we were used already to work with each other and also to learn from each other, right? Because often corporate real estate is seen as a black box or as a mystery. We helped because we were working together to demystify everything related to real estate and our services.
Interesting. Adam, you probably got some comments about that. But two things is how closely are you aligned with the HR team and process? Are they considered hand in glove or not? And I guess neither is necessarily right or wrong, but it's just interesting to see how different companies operate.
So we work closely with HR. I think it's essential that you work with HR. I mean, I've said this before, so it's probably a broken record. The goal really is to put the employee at the center of the experience. And obviously, HR is the group that is key from an employee perspective. So we definitely work close with HR when we're looking at future strategies, ideas, pilots, anything that can affect the employee. We work very closely with HR. I think the industry, you know, in general, I think we're still on that journey of getting closer to HR. So whether it be from a reporting line relationship, I think it's more how companies work and how they grow up and how they interact with each other. So not specific to GSK, I think we're still on that journey as an industry, getting out of the traditional silos and working more in a more joined up way.
Great. And maybe just to dig into that a bit deeper, I guess I wanted to come on to the Bangalore. So there's, as you mentioned to me on YouTube, anyone can go and see a 3-minute video of what you've been doing in Bangalore, which when you get to the end of, it's a recruitment. It seems to me it's a video that's been made to get people to join GSK, mm-hmm. but 90% of it is about the buildings and the inside and how you've designed them. And I think I'm right in saying that started, which you mentioned earlier, with what work you did in GSK House. And then, so is that right? And can you maybe sort of talk about these pilots that you've been running or thinking about doing? And I guess then we can maybe talk about how COVID disrupted or didn't disrupt that.
So I think first off, as I've mentioned before, we at GSK, we have a very forward-thinking group of corporate real estate leaders. Patrick Marsh, who you know, Ian Anderson, I've already mentioned Charlie, Simon French, one of our designers. So these guys have been working on this for a long time, looking at how we continue to push the envelope in terms of space, productivity, how the different needs of our people are meeting technology and how we're producing additional productivity. So as I mentioned, the GSK House Performance Hub that came about a couple of years back really was the first initiative that looked at different types of effects on people, their wellness, productivity, et cetera. And then what came out of that was just embedding some of those aspects into our space design to say, this is what we're going to do going forward. And we're going to put these elements into our space to ensure that the wellness of our people is increased. And we also take into these productivity factors. The curveball that was COVID that came in allowed us to then progress things like how we utilize the space a bit differently. So as we know, things like the amount of space per person, that's evolved over time. That COVID allowed us the business case to say we can start adjusting the amount of space we have per person. So that was kind of a development. Obviously, the way that we set up the office in terms of why people are coming in, that's progressed over time, where it was people came in to do heads down work, to take calls, whatever it may be. That's progressed into the reason why people are coming into the office is more about collaboration with others. So that affects the design that you have, right? So it's not just about desk space, it's more about collaboration space and not necessarily enclosed meeting room space. It's more about informal collaboration space. So the performance hub kind of set up, okay, we can do these things to affect the employee. COVID allowed us to then take the step forward to say the way that we set up the office can be different now because we've proven that people don't need office space like they once did. So I think the two of those have come together in what you see in Bangalore, where we've set up an office that we think is fit for purpose for the future, for the way people are going to utilize space going forward. And it also incorporates the learnings from the performance hub to say, while you're in the office using it in a different way, we can have a positive effect on your well-being and your productivity. So we think it's the combination of those two things.
I think I'm right in saying in Bangalore, you'll be continuing to measure a lot of what's going on, as you said, people's well-being and productivity. Is that right? And maybe talk about scent at this point. I'm curious how you're measuring it and what you're measuring it and how you're using that. And as a science company, I'm sure this resonates internally. And what's the point of different scent?
Maybe just broadly talking about how we're utilizing information. So across the board, the team studied a variety of different items that I mentioned before, and then used things like surveys, the Fitbits and watches that we use to gather information to then kind of make a determination around how different things affected their performance or their well-being based upon the data that was coming in off of the surveys, off of the Fitbits and the wearables, et cetera. So that's how the two kind of married with each other. You know, if I take sound, obviously we played around with different types of sound and different types of setups that would affect sound in different ways. Scent, there was different scents that were pushed into the space to see how people would react to it. And again, the wearables and the surveys kind of allowed us to gather information on, did those things affect the experience or the productivity of the team? You know, another thing I could do for this podcast is I'm happy to link an article that was put in the Corporate Real Estate Journal because it kind of went through all this. And I think there's a lot of good information in there that kind of went through all the science and everything that the team did. But the team partnered with Art Health and they really helped structure these different research events and sprints and accumulated this information in different ways. So it was science-led. And I think, as you said at the beginning, that resonates within GSK. Because if you could put something through the science lens and say, we researched it and here's kind of how we went through it, it definitely resonates with folks inside the company.
Well, put a connect in the show notes, so to say, with how people can find all that information. That'd be great. So if I flick it back to you, Marnix, and we talk a little bit about booking. You mentioned that you'd run these pilots pre-COVID and you got really good feedback on that. So where's booking sort of situated now in the middle of COVID? Are you back in the office? Is it varied by region? Maybe you could talk a little bit about how you're thinking about the back to the office to start with.
Yeah, so we are reopening in the countries where it is possible and where it is safe to open. And we do that on a voluntary basis. It's really for the people who need to be in the office because of lack of space or want to start collaborating again, strictly on a voluntary basis. And that is already bringing great results because we also see and notice how much people have missed the office and especially missed having a face-to-face interaction with their colleagues. The real reopening, or the bigger reopening, we have planned for next year, early next year, February onwards. And we will do that as one huge pilot, if you like. So globally, we will start tracking all the data and seeing and learning, of course, also from how this will impact our people and what we can learn from it and how can we improve during the pilot. So what we have learned from our pre-COVID pilots and experiment, and very much driven at the time and still is today by the team of Mark van den Helder, together with the data scientists like Jacob Pitchforth, Andras and Sebastian Muller. At the time, also very similar to what Adam is saying about GSK, it is really about this approach. It helps the internal buy-in, but it also helps to share, to build this network externally. We published our results in the PLOS One, the scientific magazine, and we see now, because of course also of all the discussion about COVID and the hybrid way of working, it gets picked up quite a lot and quoted, etc. And from that, we get into touch with other experiments across the world, etc. So it's very helpful to make it a kind of an open source approach to share what we have done and how we have learned going forward. Quickly back to your question where you were asking, how will we approach it? So we are going to approach the reopening from February onwards as a 6-month pilot where we will learn a lot about what people will really do. Because what we have learned in booking, in our way of the booking platform, is people say one thing and do another thing. And that's what we also probably will see also going forward in this pilot. So we have now assumptions, we create the spaces there, but we now already know that it will be different, what we will see and learning going forward.
So you said you're publishing the results of your pilots in a magazine. You said that was PLOS One, did you say?
Yep, PLOS One.
What sort of publication is that? I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, so that was a publication about the experiment that we did, what I talked about. So testing in real life for workplace concepts. People tested, worked 2 weeks in one concept, then moved to the next one. And we tracked and did all kinds of surveys, of course, but also had the wiring via sensors. And so we could really see also there what people were saying in the survey, and then checking with the data that we found on the sensors, how did it connect and was it backing each other or were there differences that we could see? So one of the insights, for example, was on noise. People were complaining on noise specifically in one of the workplace concepts. When we looked to the levels of noise, it was not so much different from the other one, but what we could see was the varying level. And then we could see that it's really when there are peaks in noise that is being seen as very disturbing. People can work perfectly, if you know, in a like a Starbucks or a cafe or so, but then it feels like a radio. Yeah, there is a lot of noise, but it is a constant level. But if there are peaks, suddenly that someone is interrupting or a sound, a high sound, then it becomes disturbing. Completely silent spaces can be very disturbing, like a library. If someone is even scratching his nails, it can be already irritating. So we have seen that with the data from the surveys and from the sensors, how to deal with that and how to bring that further forward.
We'll get the details from you, Onyx, and then we can attach them to the show notes so people can go find that. The other thing I just wanted to pick you up on is in your HR days, let's say you used to refer to corporate real estate as a black box. So now you're in that black box. What are you doing differently that exposes corporate real estate to the rest of the business? Are you breaking down those walls, so to say?
Yeah, it's not so much that there were walls, because the real estate team is super open and transparent, of course, but it's more also what you don't know you are afraid of. So we are super open and transparent also with our people, because people are very interested. We see this now with our two big building projects that we have, the opening of the new campus in Manchester and the one in Amsterdam. Both will reopen in the course of next year. We will start and are starting to talk about a lot about what is happening there and how we are approaching it. Especially people are now more than ever interested in seeing the what will change in the office. Because people also have seen how great it is to work remotely and get things done working from home. At the same time, also how important the office continues to be for things like learning, collaboration, etc.
You know, what I'm hearing from both of you, which I think is fascinating, one is everything you've been doing for a while now is steeped in really good quality data, and not just property data, but what we might call business data. And secondly, you're taking that
to run pilots, and maybe because of COVID, there's an increased need to understand exactly now what people do and don't want when they come back to the office. I think that difference between heads down and heads up work that you were describing, Adam, sort of talks to that. So this idea that you're iterating which is how the technology industry, of course, works. You're taking ideas, running pilots, getting feedback, listening to people, recognizing, as you said, Monix, that maybe they say one thing and do another. So you've got to be really careful, and you can only do that with data. We kind of take all that, and we're in the middle of this storm that is trying to figure out what the purpose of work is and therefore the purpose of an office space for work. I'd really like to dig into this idea of culture and purpose. I just wanted to read something out that I saw in a newspaper. So it's a recently published study that showed that consumers, whether they lean towards one party or the other, buy into the idea of companies doing good for society. But how do they do that? The most common answers involve supporting and developing their staff or investing in their local communities. Speaking out on social issues, which is something Ben and Jerry's have done, was at the bottom of public's demand from business. So I think my question coming out of that is, do you see that resonating in what you're now thinking you need to do and are doing with your space? If we've got to develop staff beyond just doing what their work is, this idea of culture purpose comes in. And so I guess my question, maybe I'll start with you, Monix, is does Booking think about purpose in that way, in that wider context? And is that something that filters into the property work that you do?
The purpose of Booking is making it easier for everyone to experience the world. That is our purpose. It's ease of use, it's broad choice, etc. And related to that, so for us, the purpose is to make it easier for everyone to get their work done in the best way. So that is our mission, if you like, very much related to the purpose. The second thing related to that is if we say experience the world, we of course also are very much interested in a world that is still worthwhile being experienced. So also here comes in our pledges on sustainability and also to make our own operations very sustainable. Also for our people, very important because they see it's an important topic. So we make sure that we have very sustainable offices and services.
Interesting. And Adam, what about you and GSK? I mean, we know that GSK has a purpose, but maybe you could describe that and then how you think about that in terms of the property.
Yeah. So GSK's purpose is do more, feel better, live longer. What we do as a company and then how we take that and ensure that we're living that with our people. I think there's the immediate translation into how we build our offices and how we provide space for folks. So that's definitely one of the things that we look at. If you take that and look at it as a concept, I was with Unilever for a number of years, and I think there are companies that definitely live by a purpose, and they ensure that not only are they doing that in the marketplace, but they're doing that with their people as well. We've probably all experienced this over the last 5-10 years, is that this is a real data point for people as they're looking for companies to work for. 20 years ago, did I know a company's purpose before I interviewed with that company? Was it actually on my radar in my decision-making criteria in terms of, was I going to go work for that company? Honestly, the answer was no. You know, I was looking for employment. I was looking for doing things that I was interested in. But now I can't count the number of times I'm in an interview and we're selling the purpose and mission of our company to people that want to come in. It's a real decision point for people. So, you know, if I look at the mission of the company, how we translate that into how we set up space for our people, it's definitely a part of a recruitment strategy and a retainment strategy that really matters for people as they decide how to use their working career and the time that they have in the corporate world or wherever it may be. It's definitely a decision point for them. So it's more important than ever, in my opinion.
Who are the stakeholders beyond the employees? I mean, again, we seem to be talking a lot more and more about community. Monix has touched on sustainability, which is obviously a huge issue and something that property has a massive part to play in. So are you not only looking at what goes on within your buildings and with your employees, but also what goes on in the communities in which you operate?
Absolutely. That's a key part of corporate responsibility these days, is being a good corporate citizen in the places that you're doing business. So I think for sure, and that's the great thing about being a part of a larger company or corporation is the fact that you have the ability to do good at scale, and not only for your customers or consumers, but the people that live in the communities that you work in and that you operate within. So I think that's table stakes, if you will, in terms of operating as a responsible company, is ensuring that you have a positive impact within the community. So the last few companies I've worked for, that's been a key part of the mission, is being a good citizen in the communities that we work in.
Monix, what about Booking? How does that manifest itself?
We have offices, 140 offices across the world in 60 countries. The communities are super important as people, well, the people with Booking, they are passionate about data. We talked about that, but of course also passionate about travel. And they are very proud of the locations where they are working and live in. So what we are doing is working with the local communities and providing time and money for the people also to make sure that we can support these beautiful locations and destinations to continue to be beautiful. And it can be that they make an initiative to clean up a certain natural thing or work with historical buildings or sites, etc., to make sure that these continue to be beautiful and worthwhile to be experienced going forward. And our people themselves, they raise the initiatives. The company is helping them to realize it.
Great. If we try and put all that together, it seems to me that we've all gone through this massive learning curve over the last 12, 18, 24 months. And in a way, that's accelerated a lot of ideas that perhaps were beginning to bubble to the surface. So if we look at the next 12, 24 months, you know, you've both touched on running pilots, thinking about what space could and should be. What else are you thinking about? Is all the, I mean, I'm sure all the, most of your focus is on getting people back into the office. But if I start with you, Monix, you know, are there other things coming at you now from the business as a result of what we've been through that's saying, oh, we really need to think about this in either deeper or we need to take on board some new things?
Yeah, I think the key challenge and what you see is the expectation of our people that there will be a seamless integration of working remotely and working in the office. And at the moment, we don't have the real experience there. So we know what it is to work 100% from the office. That's what we used to do at Booking before COVID. We also know how it is to work 100% remotely from home. But the combination, the hybrid way, that is really something different. How can we also make the technology be seamless? So does it work, the video conferencing, just as easy in the office as at home? And how can you make sure that people who are working from the office or working at home can still communicate and collaborate also in the best way possible? So many of these things are really top of the agenda. And we know also it will take time really to experience it and to learn from doing in the coming years.
And Adam, what about at GSK? What's the sort of top of mind for the next 12, 24 months? And how do you push what you're already doing, which is right at the front of the pack, so to say, in terms of neat things you're thinking about?
First, we need to understand what post-COVID looks like. I think, you know, we talk a lot about it. There's a lot of white papers written, a lot of opinions out there, but I don't think any of us really know, right? What is the take-up going to be when we get past COVID, whenever that really is? I think we need to understand how people come back and what the turn-up rate becomes in a lot of our locations. So I think that's one thing that we definitely need to monitor, that we need to understand. I think regardless of that, we can project where that could be. It's still about producing and designing and creating workplaces that allow people to be as productive as they can be, right? So whether that's remote to remote experience, a hybrid experience, or an in the office experience, that's really what we're meant to do, is we're meant to create opportunities for people to do their best work. So we need to keep doing that and looking for ways to create opportunities for people to be as productive as possible and really bring all their talents to the mission of what the company has been built to do. So that's the focus. I think understanding where the balance will be between the types of interactions our people have, how they're going to want to work. I think to me, those are the things that we're going to have to monitor over the next 12 to 24 months, because like I said, we can all make predictions, but we really don't know what it's going to look like when we're able to bring people back.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And in a way, it takes us back to the beginning of the conversation when we talked about data. So I imagine that you're going to, in a way, double down on your data scientist approach to what you're doing.
We definitely will. We're going to keep monitoring the data. We're going to keep, you know, again, we've got a great team that does that. They love it. And we're going to keep doing that for sure. But what I would say is, I think we're at an inflection point in the corporate real estate industry to me. I think for a lot of years, we would chase demand and we would oversupply what we thought demand was going to look like. And we would do it because we wanted to make sure people had enough space and we had room for growth and a way to work to make sure that the company was comfortable going forward. I think we're going to turn that on its head in the coming years, where it's going to be maybe we assume that the company can work with less space so that we're not in a position where we have too much supply and the demand doesn't come up to where it should be. So I don't think we need data to tell us exactly how many people are coming into the office every day or any type of workplace every day. I think we're going to be a little bit more conservative. This is the general we as an industry. I think we have the opportunity to be more conservative to say, listen, we've proven that we can work in different ways. Therefore, we don't have to oversupply the projected demand that we have. We know we can work differently. So the data that for me is more about when we do have people coming in, how do we optimize the experience, wellness, and productivity? Not so much the old question that we used to try to answer around how much space do we need. I think we need to be more aggressive as an industry in that context.
Monix, would you echo that sentiment? Is that how you're approaching things?
Yes, absolutely. It's very interesting to hear what Adam is saying and how GSK is approaching this. We are definitely looking also in that same direction. Plus, the other thing for us, what is very important, is the office always has been at the center of our working life, and it will continue to be. Probably people will be less, or very likely people will be less in the office, but we want to make that experience, that employee experience, super important, super good. So it is, of course, the design and everything related to that, but it's also about the services, the food, etc., because the meetings, the informal meetings during the day will be very important to build the culture, the purpose, and everything. And that we will continue to develop. Just mentioned the two projects that we will deliver second half of next year. So the new campus in Manchester and the campus in Amsterdam. We started building that way before COVID, planning, designing it. And now we'll be still able to also use the learnings that were coming out of the hybrid way. But it will be two magnificent buildings, also as a kind of a magnet for people to make use of it, especially to make sure that the connection and culture will be even stronger than before.
Is the design of the internal design of them, I guess, has been shifting over the last 18 months?
Yeah, definitely on the desk area, if you like, where you will also have focused places, etc. On the smaller meeting rooms where people can do their calls or but also their video round, there will be more. It's great to see that what we were already planning is the emphasis on a communal space and informal space, whether that be restaurants or pantries or learning areas. They will still be super and super important. We'll have them exactly the same as we started to think and design them before COVID started.
You know, maybe to wrap it up, I don't know if there's anything that you wanted to bring up, Adam, or talk about that is relevant. You know, we've certainly hit on some big themes around the use of data telling us what we should be doing, and this really important area of, which I think is coming more and more into focus, around culture and purpose and attracting staff. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on?
Maybe just one thing. Where we're at in the industry perspective, this is a really key time for us. We're all part of different industry organizations that focus on how we can continue to add value and how we build up an industry that's attractive to people to come in and really have a great, productive career, you know, rewarding career. I think this is an opportunity really for us to take the next step and kind of go beyond the bricks and mortar of the space that we're developing. We really have the opportunity to help set and build a corporate culture in the way that we work. So I think it's a fantastic time to be in the corporate real estate world. Maybe companies have less physical space going forward, but the importance of that space and how we work together is getting more and more important. And this is our opportunity as an industry really to play a key role in that. And it steps beyond the traditional corporate real estate property industry. It's about how we make our mark on our companies. So it's an exciting time. I think it's a journey for a lot of companies in terms of bringing different parts of the organization together and really putting that employee at the center of the experience. But to me, it's beyond just how many people come to the office every day, space standards in an office. It's the way that we work and how we shape our corporations going forward. So it's a really exciting time.
Great. And maybe last word with you, Monix, anything to add?
Yeah, no, I fully agree with Adam. So it is a super exciting time for everyone who's working in real estate and in the services industry. Probably most exciting in the past 50 years, also seeing what will change and what will shift. I don't have the illusion we will be done at the end of next year, that we have figured it out. It will take years because it's so different. We want to create an amazing place to work, using the data and working together with everyone, not only HR, but also everyone who's working in the company, to create also this seamless integration with working remotely and working in the office. And that will be a fantastic challenge for the coming years, and to create this amazing space which we will work in all together.
Great. And I couldn't agree with both of you more. It is a super exciting time to be in it, and lots of different ideas coming out. And there's not going to be one answer that everyone can implement. So I think understanding business culture and purpose is paramount in that, which is one of the reasons that we talked about it. So thank you both. Most importantly, best of luck with the rollouts of the new space. Look forward to hearing how those go and having you back on the podcast. Thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
And before you go, thanks very much for listening. It would be great if you could leave a rating and any comments you have on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts. All feedback is a great way to support the What's Next in Corporate Real Estate podcast and to get great guests to share their knowledge with you and everyone else who listens. Thanks very much.